Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
I said that the Dow on February 19th was at 29.5, and now it's at 24.9. So that's not good. It's over 10% off. But, you know, I was watching this video online today from the Washington Post, and they said that seven times in the last 10 years, we've had a correction of 10% or more, which is what we're doing right now. I don't remember those, but evidently that has happened. Still, we're looking on the bright side today. We're coming up with a list of 50 things that we can all be happy about. We got off to a great start just moments ago. Warm, sunny weather is coming. The Hawks rookie scored three goals in the third period. Baseball today on WGN Radio as the White Sox take on somebody or another. So that was three of them right there. I've kind of stalled since then, so just text to me at 312-981-7200. Things we can all share that we can be happy about. Today, Heather Long writes about economics for the Washington Post. I was stealing some of her notes when I mentioned some of that stuff a moment ago. Heather, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, good to be here.
I appreciate your wisdom and your cool, calm, rational approach that I saw on my computer this morning when you were saying, look, we've had seven corrections in the last 10 years. 20% is a bear market, and we're nowhere near there, although it doesn't look real pretty today, but it would take a while for this to go to that. So tell me what else you're thinking about or noticing this morning.
Well, everyone is trying to figure out, is this going to spill over to the American consumer? You know, it's clear that there's stuff that isn't being shipped across the Pacific Ocean to Seattle and Los Angeles and places like that. We knew those what we call supply side effects were going to be disrupted. We've heard it from companies like Apple that are worried about, you know, getting enough parts or whatever. But, you know, the big question that would really send the U.S. economy into a recession and truly, you know, tank the stock market even more is if we see widespread signs of people no longer going out to eat, people no longer going on vacation. And we're seeing a little bit of that, you know, cancellations of cruises and people pulling back from vacations. But the real test, you know, I tell people, think about your favorite restaurant in town. When you drive by that parking lot, is it still pretty full or not? And that's going to be your real test and your real indicator of just how widespread this economic impact really is.
I wonder if the big box store parking lots or mall parking lots are a similar sort of indication this weekend.
Well, you would think so, although obviously some of those big box stores have had issues with more people buying online. That's why I always say, you know, restaurant spending has been pretty strong. You have to remember, though, the data was looking really good in January. People were calling this economy the best since 1999. You know, people have seen wage increases in the United States. They have had pretty good income growth the past year. So we are coming into this crisis moment, if you will, in a pretty good condition. And so the best estimates at the moment are that the U.S. economy will be able to weather this. We'll go through a rough couple of weeks, but, you know, I don't see many economists truly predicting 6 months of negative growth, and that's what we would need for a recession, two full quarters of a negative hit. But again, nobody knows. We just don't know how long this is going to last, and that's why you see this panic selling. I think it's important to remember when you look at the stock market, two things are going on. One, you know, we just don't know how widespread this is going to be, how long it's going to endure. The second important point, and I just heard one of the Federal Reserve governors make it on television this morning, stocks were basically, you know, at record, not only were they at record highs, but they were very pricey. You know, by some indicators, they were more expensive. The stock market was more expensive than it was in, like, the dot-com bubble. So when you see stuff like that, the reality is traders were basically sitting there with their finger right above the sell button even before we heard about the coronavirus. Because whenever the market gets that high, just takes a little something to really get people to sell because they already feel it's overvalued. So I think that's helping to drive some of this very rapid decline we're seeing this week.
So this could have been war in the Middle East or stalled trade talks with China. It could have been a number of things that maybe would have sent us down this path.
I mean, would it have been this deep? Absolutely not. That's obviously some of the coronavirus and the massive uncertainty. You know, nobody can model this. You call up economists, some of the best economists and forecasters in the world, and they're like, you know, here's my best guess. But, you know,
well, give me your best guess.
Nobody really has a good handle on, you know, your normal sort of key in your numbers doesn't, you can't open your normal spreadsheet. Let's put it that way.
I understand that. But give me your best guess, though, on suppose the incidence of the virus spread started to go down, and maybe there was some good news about, you know, some sort of treatment. And if this thing sort of came under control, do you expect us to get most of or how much of this loss back?
Yeah, I think that's where what people think is going to happen in the United States, and that's why they think the economy will bounce back. Markets are a little bit trickier to predict because obviously a number of multinational companies would have to see that bounce back all around the world, and some countries, you know, may struggle to get back as
right.
quickly as the United States or Europe would, or Japan even. But yeah, I think people expect that when this is finally under control, hopefully in the next few weeks, then the economy could come back. Well, the way I like to think of it is, you know, at the beginning of this month, when the impact looked like it could possibly be contained to China, or relatively a handful of countries, the economists were talking about a V-shaped impact. So almost like what we saw with the shutdown a year ago, something where there's a really quick hit to the economy and then it bounces back really quickly, that V-shape. Now they're talking about a U-shape impact. So something where we're in this phase where we're going down on the U, but the U is deeper. We're going to stay in that negative, that rough period for a while, but then the forecast is it will still come back up that other side. The question is, do we come back up in March? Do we come back up in April? Do we come back up in May?
Heather Long's the economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Just two more minutes and really two more questions for me, Heather. Then why are these smart people selling? I mean, everybody's saying, we had on one of your colleagues on the personal finance side the other day, and she said, don't sell, don't sell, don't sell. That's market picking and timing, and none of us are good at that. And do you think your horizon 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 40 years from now, the market's going to be higher? And you say, yeah. And then she says, well, then don't sell. So then who are these people doing all of this selling, Heather?
Again, as we talked about, the market was pretty overvalued heading into this event. So we were probably priced of the so-called PE ratio that you often hear market people talk about was over 18. That means people were willing to pay $18 for every $1 of earnings that a company was getting. So that is a lot of belief that companies were going to grow like gangba, you know, just keep growing and growing. You know, right now that's in the short term, it doesn't look like it's going to be such a good first half of the year for earnings. So people obviously had to revise those expectations down. Now the PE is around 17, maybe even a little bit lower after today's early selling, down to 16 something. That's a lot closer to the long-term average. And so, you know, again, that's a lot more where people feel a lot more comfortable with this level in the market. I think the key thing to watch at the moment, the market's down around 15% from its recent high. To become a bear market, it needs to fall to 20% down from that high. We've gotten close a few times. It happened at the end of 2018, but we have not had that 20% fall yet in the last decade. So that's where I think you get more nervous, is if this bull market ends, you know, right now. We'll see.
Heather Long has a helpful video, I think, on their website, too, WashingtonPost.com, and you can read her economics writing there as well. I appreciate your time this morning, Heather. Thanks for helping us out.
Thanks a lot.
Heather Long from The Washington Post. Thank you, 630. They said, hey, John, great show. My question is, what's worse, the virus with 16 people having it or fanning the flames about the whole thing? The Mincing Rascals podcast talked a lot about that. Are we overreacting, you and me? Are we making it worse than it really is, this virus? That's part of the podcast discussion that we opened with. I don't know where you get podcasts, but the Mincing Rascals talk a lot about that. And on our way to 50 things to be positive about, King John, we still have heated buildings. This list is evidently going to be harder to build than I thought. And John, stocks are cheaper. Buy, buy, buy. Look on the bright side.
You were talking, but the hearse has been found.
Surely the person that stole that vehicle didn't realize there was a body in there.
The way the story was is that someone was taking, a mortuary worker was taking a body into a church when they jumped in the Navigator and took it. I don't know if they realized there was another body in there or not.
I suppose that's a more serious crime than just stealing a car.
They could probably stiffen up the penalties.
Are you doing that on purpose, or happening by accident?
Must be.
I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about things.
It's another one of those. Cop pulls over a hearse. Guy stole a vehicle with a dead body in back. And the officer says, I don't know what the end of that is, but that's the setup. Bertrand did it pretty well yesterday. My number's 312-981-7200. This is WGN. You know, the market's off 1,000 points, so we're on our way to 11% as the correction continues. This coronavirus has you scared. It has markets scared as well. And I just said we need to find some good things to say about what's going on. I'm going to add to my list. I was hoping we could come up with 50 positive things, not just personal to me or say you, but to all of us. So warm, sunny weather is coming. The Hawks rookie scored 3 goals in the 3rd period, and the team won. Hooray! Chicago can love that. Baseball on WGN Radio today. The stocks are cheaper. We got that going for us. The city is sending more patrols to make the CTA safer. The U of I basketball team is something that everybody but maybe Northwestern fans can cheer on. I'm working it here. Just help me. Democrats aren't debating tonight. So there's a lot of things that we can all be happy about. It's not as easy as I thought it was going to be,
no.
Dave.
No.
You know who would probably be good at this is Lou Manfredini, or Mr. Fix-It. Hey, Lou, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning.
Here's another thing that the community can cheer. Lou Manfredini won the Friendship Award given last night by the National Italian Sports Hall of Fame.
Bravo.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Yes. Thank you. I got a belt.
He got one of those great big boxing belts.
I got like a boxing belt.
With the buckles and the studs and the big thing in the front. And we said, Lou, put it on. And then what did Lou say? What did Lou say when we said that? He said,
what
that's,
did I say?
He said, that's all I'm wearing tonight. Yeah.
And, yeah, well, it fits.
Mary Beth said, sure, please. By the way, I got to tell you a story about what happened last night. So they have this boxing thing. We were in Elk Grove Village, right, Lou? At an event center out there. And
very nice of you to come. Thank you so much.
What a pleasure it was. Several of us here from the radio station were there. Your wife and family was, members of your family were there. The Jakubowskis were there, of course, because they're some of your best friends in the whole world. And then a bunch of people you and I didn't know, but were happy to meet. And so Bill Comforti was introducing us to folks, the guy from Cobblestone Construction. He's a very big guy in this.
Supporter, but that was his event. He was in charge of that event last night.
Mr. Comforti, you and your company did well last night. That was really delicious food. There was beverages, and there was this amateur boxing. We saw about 8 rounds of these young guys boxing, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this. It was really fun.
Men and women. There were female boxers as well.
Absolutely.
Legit and sanctioned and very well run.
There was 2 men over in the corner, and you and Bill said you should meet those guys. So was it you that walked them over, or I just came upon them?
No, I think Bill did.
Yeah. So, and I don't know who they are, but like, hey, how are you? And it was one young man, looked to be maybe 20 years old, I guess, and he was a boxer, and he was getting ready to go out there, and I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to bother you. No, it's okay. And the other guy was kind of his manager or brother or buddy, and we just had a terrific time. I just thought they were such nice guys, and we talked about his hopes and aspirations. They walked away. Lou comes up to me and says, do you know who that was? I said, no, I don't. Who were they, Lou?
They were the Bola brothers.
The guys that conspired to beat up Jussie Smollett.
Allegedly.
No. Are you serious?
Yes. And it completely changed my attitude about them. Now, instead of saying, who are these knucklehead blah, 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 blahs, I'm going, I don't know what happened, fellas, but you were just delightful. Just too good-looking, muscular, pleasant.
Yeah. Handsome young men, yes.
Happy fellas.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, so the one brother was the trainer and manager, whatever, for the other brother, who is the boxer. The trainer guy looked more muscular than the boxer guy. But the boxer guy went out there in the final round, and boom, 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 and they're boxing. He dropped the other guy like a bad habit. And it was one of these things where, like, you know, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, I don't know. It's this guy's throwing punches and their gloves are hitting each other. They've got the headsets on, so they're not going to clang each other in the head too hard. But then he did. Just all of a sudden something went bam, 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 and the other guy dropped to the mat. Whoa! It was very impressive.
Yeah. That he is an aspiring Olympic boxer. So, I mean, this is a career that, you know, he has been training for quite some time, and yeah. I've had the chance to see him at other events box, and he's impressive. Have this sort of backstory.
this sort of backstory.
Wait for the up close and personal during the Olympics.
Ray,
right.
Really?
Right, you're right. Yeah.
Ray Boom Boom Mancini was there. Larry Holmes was there. Yeah. I mean, it's just like the former heavyweight champion world, Sugar. Ray, not Leonard. There was another guy there who won the Olympic gold medalist in 1972, wearing his medal. It was just like this bizarre scene. Don't ask me.
And a lot of WGN listeners, which is very nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sugar Ray Robinson.
Sugar Ray Robinson.
I thought he was pre-72.
He was
72.
It says 40 to 65.
It was an open bar, so I'm not exactly sure. All of the details. And then Lou came up and just said a very few words. I thought you handled your moment in the sun perfectly last night, Lou.
Well, I was in a ring, and so I didn't want anybody to punch me.
Well, so
I prefer to get my boxing belt by being nice to people as opposed to hitting people.
Well, so it's kind of funny because, like I said, it's an open bar, right? So Lou and I had a couple of beers, and some of these other boxing dudes had a couple of beers, and there was a moment where there wasn't much going on, and so Lou puts on the gloves, and one of the other boxing guys gets out there, and now they're throwing punches. None of this is true. But oh, wouldn't it have been cool if it was? Because I was thinking, oh, is there a way we can get Lou to spar a little bit? But this was like a very professional, if you will, looking thing. It looked like it was like the real deal. Like they weren't kidding around in that ring.
No. I mean, they had all the right judges, and they had the fight doctors, and it was all very. I remember the first bout actually ended very quickly because it's amateur boxing, and so they're very concerned about everyone's safety. I mean, it is boxing, so it's a rough sport, and they stop the fight right away.
If I may just say one other thing about last night, another thing that I was just really impressed with, the boxers, the judges, the refereeing and everything, Bill Conforti and the way they put that thing together, and that is the kids afterwards helped each other out of the ring. They hugged. It did very much seem like it was about good sportsmanship too, Lou.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that, I think that, and I've been to several of these events and I have experienced that time and time again. And I think that's the legitimacy. You know, this whole Italian Sports Hall of Fame thing started in the 70s, and it started with boxing. That's how it all, that was sort of its infancy when the late George Randazzo founded the place, right. And it's been around ever since. And then they included all of, you know, the honoring sports figures of Italian heritage. And ironically, I got this award for, it's called the Gary Hall Friendship Award. I'm like, Hall, what part of Italy is that from? Well, in fact, his mother was Italian. And so, you know, we Italians, we only need a little bit to jump onto that whole thing. There's probably a little Italian in you, John.
There was last night. In fact, after that buffet, there still is. I'll let you go, Lou. We'll listen to you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., right?
Thank you.
That's our Mr.
You got
Fix
it. We'll see you guys.
Lou Manfredini. I'm trying to come up with 50 things we can all be happy about. I may scale that back, what with the market sliding, to maybe 20. But this is one that you should have thought of.
Oh.
Fish fries. All the fish fries.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's Lent.
Friday Fish Fries.
Fish fries. A lot of you really love those things. And boy, today and the next few weeks will be your time.
I'm more for the pepper and egg sandwich, however.
I heard them talking about the invention of that yesterday. On...
I bet you the line at Portillo's is going to be insane today.
Oh, do they do that?
Oh, they do the pepper and egg really good. Yeah.
NASDAQ's off 225 points as well. The Dow is off 924, trading at 24,836. 24,836. 2 weeks ago, it was at 29.5. So I'm not sure what the percentage on that is, but it's more than 10%. And therefore, it categorizes or qualifies as a correction. A bull market is when things are going well. A bear market is when things are going bad. But you need to lose 20% of the previous high in order to be qualified as a bear market.
Well, let's not go there.
And nobody knows if it will. But the smart person we had on a little while ago said, this doesn't qualify as that, and there's no reason to think that it will be that. But the thing is, there's not a lot of history for this kind of thing, where it's a global biological scare that's driving the markets, even though, as she said, they were overpriced, according to some people, and needed a reason to tip. Like, this is very unusual. We just don't have a history for this. By the way, Steve, what did you say about schools in Illinois will have to get permission from the tribes in order to use Indian mascot
names? Well, there's a couple of state lawmakers have introduced a bill that would ban mascot names from schools, and there were several requirements that would allow them around that. One is to get tribal approval. They'd have to teach Native American courses and different things like that at the school.
But what happens to the Manuka Indians right now?
They change their name to something that's more,
really,
more palatable.
And I think I know Morris was the Redskins.
Yeah, I think they still are.
I do too.
Deerfield Warriors.
So here we go again. I mean, the first domino here was the Fighting Illini, right?
Bring back Chief Illiniwek, by the way.
Well, if you want to go down that path, so what is the story about Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day?
So the Board of Education voted this week to rename their Columbus Day holiday the Indigenous Peoples Day instead.
So you still get the day off. This is Chicago Public Schools, but it won't be to honor Christopher Columbus. It will be to honor
the people he killed.
Stop that. you know, really, it was white man, and generally speaking, that came to the New World. Talk to Thomas Jefferson about that. I know that, by the way.
But did that come up at your event last night?
Yes, it absolutely did.
The Italian community is very protective.
And there they were in large numbers last night at the National Italian Sports Hall of Fame Night at the Fights, at which our Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It, won an award, the Friendship Award. Lou's a good Italian and supports his Italian heritage, and so this is a room of these people, right? And before they did the fight, they said, you need to call your legislator and tell them that we want it to stay Columbus Day. They weren't saying anything about who would take Columbus Day. It's more about their heritage than does somebody else deserve a day as well.
I think one of the aldermen said, give, you know, indigenous people, they should have a day. That's great, but don't take Columbus Day.
I think that was the position of the folks at the thing last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did some boxing. By the way, speaking of, actually, there's no reasonable segue here. I'm just going to mention this. Rod Blagojevich, we were wondering, how's he going to make a living? And, you know, if he doesn't have a job or do community service, he has to go back to jail. Who's going to hire him? He is on the Cameo website now. Cameo, you've probably heard of. I know Bill and Wendy used to talk about this here. It's a website you go to, and famous people are there and, you know, pitching their wares, if you will. But what it is they will then leave a message for somebody. It could be anybody that pays the amount. So say Kyle Schwarber, for instance. Kyle Schwarber is one of them. If you want Kyle Schwarber to call somebody that you know and wish them a happy birthday, Schwarber will do it for, I think it's $100.
Or they'll post a video and you send a video of them.
So here's a clip from the Schwarber thing.
Jason, what's going on, man? Kyle Schwarber here with the Chicago Cubs. Hey, your wife, Erica, wants to say that you've been her rock and you've cared after her for the two surgeries this past month. We'll sit back and watch some of this Marquee channel and watch the Cubbies play.
Goes on like that for a while. Little plug for the Marquee Network from Schwerb.
They've all got the message.
I was just going to say, that is so... Actually, I don't know if that's very Cubs of them. That's very Blackhawks of them. I don't know if that's very Cubs of them, but there he was. Sean Spicer is on there for $199. Sean Spicer will post a video or leave a message. And the latest one is former Governor Rob Blagojevich. Here's part of him pitching his thing.
If you want a birthday greeting, an anniversary greeting, motivation, yeah, or any other kind of shout-out, I can't wait to hear from you.
Okay, fine. I can.
So what would you pay for that, John?
Well, it started at $40. The price jumped to $100, and that was in the Tribune. But last I checked, it was $110 for a video from Blagojevich.
So that means he must be getting some good traffic.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how that works, but that's what I would conclude.
I mean, if they're charging $40 and now they think they can get $110, clearly a lot of people have signed up.
Yeah, right. So he goes, well, if I can get it for $40, I'll try $50. Now he's at $110. Right. Who are you people? Although it might be kind of funny, hey, Blagojevich leaving a message for somebody. I mean, that's pretty hilarious, right? But is it so hilarious that you want to spend $110 on it? U.S. Postal Service has issued a warning about email scams that are going on. I don't know if we're going to get some about this market crash, but there is one out there about the coronavirus, and there's another one that says it looks like it's from the U.S. Postal Service, and they say we couldn't deliver a package, and it's worth $100,000. Give us some personal information, and we'll make sure we get you the package. There's another one that says you have unpaid postage due, and if you give them your credit card number, suddenly they're draining your account. Now, the USPS does not email customers demanding money. It's important to understand how cybercrime affects our lives, and you and I are not experts at this. You know who is? Those people at LifeLock. Identity theft happens every 2 seconds. And there are people out there that all day long get up and instead of going to work, they try and steal your identity. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock sees threats you can miss. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code LifeLock. So you call right now, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or visit LifeLock.com and use the promo code LifeLock to save 25%. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV. You know, with all of the bad news, the markets, the virus, stuff like that, I've been trying to make a list of things we can all share that will make us happy, and they include things like a warm, sunny day. The Hawks rookie scored 3 goals in the third period last night. Even if you're not a big hockey fan, isn't that nice? Gas, somebody said, is under $3 a gallon. Fish fries are on Friday nights. No polar vortex, said another. Somebody mentioned this, and I want to pass it along. Formula One, that show about Formula One called Drive to Survive. Season 2 is back on Netflix. I watched Season 1 of Drive to Survive. What do I care about Formula One racing? It's fantastic. Season 2, I hope, is as good. Girl Scout cookies are for sale. Sunday is the first day of spring. The Decorah North Eagles have 2 eggs, and you can watch them on their nest on the Explore channel, explore.org. Kelly Leonard would probably add to a list like this. He's a positive and engaging person. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Shamrock Shakes. Right? Isn't that coming up?
Oh, hold on. Why don't I have that on my list? And if they're not, they're coming, and that makes me happy.
Right.
And the idea is, it's a little bit different than the Bright Side we do Fridays, Kelly, where that's where people call in and just say something personal to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could call and do these, but usually people say, you know, I'm going to have a grandson, or my daughter's coming home from a tour of duty. So they're usually personal, and we're happy for you.
Yep.
But Shamrock Shakes is happy for everybody.
For everyone.
And by the way, I don't even eat these things, but I'm just glad they're out there for y'all.
Sure.
It's like maybe you aren't going to watch the Decorah North Eagles, but still, isn't that kind of swell? Who's Kelly Leonard? He's the executive vice president of Second City, and he's the host of Getting to Yes, and we've sort of charged him here last few months with coming up with innovative and interesting Chicago stories that maybe you know a little bit about. I'll bet you don't know what Kelly knows about them. And you've done a couple for us. You did Radio Flyer.
Yep, the Red Wagons.
What a fascinating history that was. Yeah. And positive story. You talked about the Lyric Opera, which I didn't think was going to be that interesting.
you were.
And it was fascinating.
Yes.
And makes me want to go to the shows.
Good. That's going to make them happy.
Kartemkin Films.
Yeah.
You came in with. What do you... Okay, go. What have you got?
All right. So, just... I mean, this company, Kartemkin Films, has been around since 1966. And they were actually motivated by the philosophies of John Dewey. And he has a quote that says, "Artists are the real purveyors of the news." So, Kartemkin was formed with this, like, manifesto of cinematic social inquiry. And they were a left-wing collective and doing agitprop works about labor struggles. That kind of dissolved in the 1970s. And they still did this model of producing high-quality documentaries that had this political edge. I got invited to go over there 2 days ago.
They're here in Chicago.
They're here in Chicago. They're at the corner of Wellington and Wolcott. So back in the day when this was Gordon Quinn's family's, I think, home apartment building, that was a very blue-collar neighborhood. It is not anymore. It's actually really nice. And I went to this house, and it's all their offices, and there's editing bays and collective work areas, and then storage with reel after reel. And I met an editor in one of these bays who was working on their next documentary, which is being directed by the co-founder, Gordon Quinn, who I had the pleasure of meeting. He was there that day, so we had coffee. Can I tell you an amazing story?
About a film or about the company?
About this documentary they're working on.
Yeah.
So this isn't released yet. It's actually being edited. And I want to say the start of the story is violent. It's shocking. But I'm going to ask you to stick with me. The documentary is called For the Left Hand. And it's about a guy, Norman Malone, who was a child classical piano prodigy growing up in Chicago in the 1940s. His dad had a lot of mental problems and was institutionalized for a period of time. And then in 1948, his father actually attacked his kids as they were laying sleeping, and then he committed suicide. Norman, who was 9 at the time, and he wanted to be this classical pianist, his entire right side was paralyzed. He couldn't use his right hand anymore, so that dream is dashed. Eventually, after tons of therapy, it took him like 9 years to graduate DePaul. He did find his life teaching music at a host of high schools around the city. He did choral direction. What no one knew is that Norman Malone continued to practice piano every single day of his life.
With one hand?
Just using his left hand. So well into his 70s and now retired, a woman moved into his apartment building, and she was a lover of classical music. And she would hear this stuff being played. And first she thought it was like a recording. And then she knocked on the door, met Norman. He told her his story. She was friends with Howard Reich, who's the classical critic for the Chicago Tribune. And Howard wrote about Norman and about his amazing gift and his incredible tale. Norman Malone now tours the country as a classical pianist, playing with one hand.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'd like to know what that sounds like or how he does that.
Yeah, well, you're going to find out with this documentary. Gordon is telling me the story as we're drinking coffee at a table, and I was just like, of course this is going to be an amazing documentary. I mean, these stories that they unearth are human and interesting, and a lot of them are Chicago-based, not all. Probably the best-known Kartemkin documentary was Hoop Dreams by Steve James.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Was that their first one by any
stretch? No, because they started in the 60s.
Yeah, right. So really, they go back that far.
Yeah.
They've been telling stories all along.
Yeah.
Hoop Dreams was nominated for...
It was nominated for an Academy Award. Kartemkin won the Academy Award last year for a documentary called Minding the Gap. So that won the best documentary. And then, you know, Steve James, his new documentary, which is called City So Real, just debuted at Sundance, and that's all about Chicago. That's about Mayor Lightfoot getting elected and the current issues and problems going on in the city. It's 6 hours long, I think. So it's probably going to end up coming to us through TV, but it did debut at Sundance and got amazing reviews.
Kelly, I'm mad at myself that I don't know all of this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I knew...
Well, that's why I do this.
I did.
I think, right?
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
But... we should all know some of that. And I, of course, don't know anything about this one-handed pianist that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So he must be racing his hand back and forth or playing songs that one could play with one hand and playing them exceptionally well.
Yeah, Ravel has a concerto for left-handed piano, so there are some of those, but he plays others. I mean, he's just so gifted with this one hand, he can't use the other.
Literally, not any use of it at all.
No.
It's not helpful to him playing the piano.
No.
And he tours this way.
Yeah, well, now he does, because Howard told this story in the Tribune a few years back. I miss this, right? And I read the Tribune every day. And so it's good to sort of be... this is one of those things where, you know, we love to bash the press in the print media, but they do sometimes elevate individuals whose stories wouldn't have been heard otherwise. And look what came out of this in terms of someone, you know, living their dream.
You and I have too many people that work at the Tribune to maybe be neutral about this.
Right.
And I know that it has, over the years, been easy and popular to say, I don't get the Tribune anymore. It's so thin. There's no ads in there. It's all sports. It's a rag. I don't
still mad
like
about
it.
The Gary Johnson thing.
You know, yeah, boy, I wish they, you know, where's Royko when you need him now?
Yeah.
That stuff. And I don't tolerate that talk anymore. The Tribune does great reporting. They do it with fewer resources than they've ever had. They're on the cusp of an ownership change there that is going to put the very essence of that paper in peril.
Yep.
And if you do not already, today would be a good day to subscribe to the Tribune or the Sun-Times. I think we need to support journalism because it supports our community when we do that.
100%.
I spoke like this when Eric Zorn and Mary Schmeek, I'll finish this little diatribe in a second here, but Eric Zorn and Mary Schmeek, the Tribune columnists, were on, and we were talking about this evil empire, Alden Global Capital, that's going to come in and take them over. And I said what I'll say again, and it's been quoted now in media stories out there, that they are kind of, as journalists, the top of the pyramid in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so if you lose the Tribune, or if the Tribune loses its strength, then WGN Radio and TV and Channel 7 and WBEZ and WBBM, everybody reads the paper. We all feed off of that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole pyramid gets smaller if the Tribune isn't as strong. And it's not just those in the media. It's those of you that listen to us and watch those stations and read other papers or just enjoy the fabric of Chicago. The Tribune is really the linchpin of that on the top. And I'm sorry in advance for what I think is going to happen over there.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is tied into the segment, right? We're talking about local storytellers, and we're talking about local innovators. And certainly, the Tribune and those reporters are part of that story. And the thing is, like, when it just becomes national, you start to lose those things that are truly unique to us.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, Kartemquin, you know, they're ensemble-based. They have a mentorship program. They're highlighting young filmmakers of color. They're you know, supporting an industry through very unconventional means, and that is such a Chicago thing.
I got a couple more questions for you about this story. We'll pause here and update our listeners on the news. You got another minute for me, Kelly?
Yep.
Kelly Leonard, you listen to Getting to Yes And. That's a podcast that he hosts, and he is also the executive vice president at Second City. It's 1027. This is WGN. Kelly Leonard is in our studio. Do you listen to Getting to Yes And? He hosts that, and he's the executive vice president of Second City. He frequently comes through our studios telling us stories of discovery, if you will, innovators from Chicago, like the people that brought you and still do the Radio Flyer wagon. Radio Flyer. We always wondered, why do they call it the Radio Flyer? What does radio have to do with wagons?
It was the immigrant founder. It was the two cutting-edge innovations was radio and airplanes.
And so he said, all right, let's just stick
put
that on the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
You told us last you were in our studio about the Lyric Opera and how they kind of said, how do we get opera to people? And they just sort of changed the mold. They really, they worked with Second City on improvisational opera shows.
Yep, and then they did Broadway shows and they worked with mariachi. I mean, yeah, very inventive.
So now you're telling us about Kartemkin Films,
yeah.
Chicago-based, the documentary people that made Hoop Dreams. But this, what is the name of the film you were telling us about?
It's called For the Left Hand.
For the Left Hand. It's one that's in production now. It's not out yet,
it's
right?
It's being edited.
Edited, yeah. Minding the Gap, they won the Oscar for that mm-hmm. as a documentary last year, right?
Yeah.
Minding
mm-hmm.
the Gap. So For the Left Hand, you were telling us about this terrible story about abusive father, right?
Yeah. And it was directed by Gordon Quinn, who's the co-founder. And so I was at the offices yesterday, and before he came over to join us, the marketing director said, I want to tell you a story about Gordon that he doesn't tell himself. So this is a connection between Second City. So Howard Alk, who is one of the founders of Second City, along with Bernie Salins and Paul Sills, and Howard left early before the other two, but he was one of the founders. He was also a documentarian and a filmmaker, and he knew Gordon really well. And he was working on a Bob Dylan film called Eat the Document. This is late 60s, early 70s. And the editing is going terribly on this thing. And Dylan's getting very upset. And so Howard basically said, I've got my friend Gordon Quinn. I can fly him in and he can do the editing. And Dylan's like, fine, great, do it. And so he did. And Gordon did this amazing job. And do you know the Bob Dylan song, Quinn the Eskimo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Mighty Quinn.
Seriously?
It's Gordon Quinn. It was a great story to, like, a, you know, in a midweek in Chicago.
Just drop that on you.
Just drop that on me.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you just joined us, this story about the left hand, just recap that. Summarize that one more time for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, Norman Malone, a child classical prodigy in the 40s, suffered this terrible injury, couldn't use his right hand.
Is this a Chicago family we're
talking
about?
Yeah, Chicago family. Went into, you know, Chicago public school system, teaching music and doing choir. And it wasn't until, you know, he was like in his late 70s that someone overheard him playing piano with one hand, which he had practiced every single day. And no one knew this. And they hooked him up with Howard Reich of the Chicago Tribune, who wrote about him. And now this gentleman tours the country and worldwide playing left-handed piano.
Elle, if you say we can listen to a little of that. By the way, Olaf, are you looking at this too? So, the guy's playing with one hand here, right?
Exactly.
Kelly, I'm amazed.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's a great Chicago story.
It's great music. Yeah. And if I was playing this, I would not need to know one hand or two. I don't know anything about piano. I would just say that's lovely music.
Yeah, and I think they are still crowdsourcing some funding for this. So if people are interested in knowing more about the story, they can go to www.kartemkin.com. I'm going to spell that because it's hard. KartemQuin.com.
Kartemkin Films. Okay, Kelly, anything else to pass along about those innovative folks in Chicago?
They are also going to be down premiering some films at South by Southwest. There's a Northwestern graduate by the name of Jenny Shi, who has a film called Finding Ying Ying, which is following the family of Ying Ying Zhang, who was abducted from University of Illinois. Maybe remember that
story.
They're
making a film about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
And she's a Chinese filmmaker, and she kind of served as the family's voice during this trip, and then ended up writing a documentary about it. And I can't. I'm going to South by Southwest, so I hope to see this and come back and report about it.
Yeah, by all means, do. By the way, as you were describing where Kartemkin Films are, one of our listeners texted in. I was a block away from here when your guest mentioned Kartemkin Films. I had to go see it for myself, so they drove over and took a picture and sent it to me. So
that's it, right?
So here it is.
Ring on the doorbell. I bet they'll have you come in for a tea.
How do you describe that building? It's a lovely old building with sort of a turret on the corner, you know, the...
Don't you think it was a house that got turned to an apartment?
Yes, that's what
it
looks
like.
And now it's a cool place to work. So they've got their editing bays and everything in there.
Yeah,
right. John, small world. He, I presume, this one-handed pianist that we're listening to was the choral director at my high school.
Linkin Park, I think.
So he did have a career in music, you
he did,
said.
But no one knew he was playing.
Yeah, I guess that's it. So his disability was not unknown to people. What they didn't know was that he was, in fact, an accomplished pianist and was practicing on his own.
Yeah.
And had no intention or expectation that he would be performing.
Right.
And now falls into that in his 70s.
Yeah, late 70s.
And is he still doing that, though?
Oh, yeah. No, he's on the road.
How about that? I want to go see him when he comes to town. And his name again is?
Norman Malone.
Malone. All right. That's Kelly Leonard, Executive Vice President, Second City, host of Getting to Yes, Dan. Well, okay. Come up with another great story for us sometime.
You got it, John.
I suspect he will. It's 10:40 on WGN. I am watching them set up for the press conference that the governor is going to be giving. I don't know if the mayor is going to be part of this, too. But the question is, the purpose of it is, how is the city and the state preparing for coronavirus? I'll just say this. The Mincing Rascals podcast is a good listen this week. It's the podcast we record here on Thursdays. It dropped last night. And the first question I asked the gang was, are we overreacting here? Maybe that's a question I should ask you, too. We talked about it a little yesterday with Kathy, a listener, who she told me after the show, in fact, did cancel her trip to Hawaii. If you were listening at this time yesterday, you heard her talk about how she and her husband had planned for some time to go for about 3 weeks to Hawaii. They had booked to stay in a hotel on Oahu, I think also on Oahu. They were going to be about 3 weeks. You're looking at me exasperated, Elif. Are we okay? They were going to be about 3 weeks. I thought that was a message for me. And maybe it is. They were going to stay about 3 weeks in a condo over there, and she canceled it all. She did not want to go to Hawaii because it's tourist heavy and because there's people from all over the world, including Asia, who live there and travel there. And she said, I'm not going to go.
You
canceled
know,
her trip.
So, you know, it's everyone has to make their own decision. And there are people now worried about Europe and things too. But, you know, we had two cases here in Chicago. What if someone had called you and said, I'm not coming to Chicago because we have two cases of coronavirus here? You know, we would have looked at them or heard them say, well, I don't understand that. You know, you didn't do anything differently when there were cases in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sorry, but why do you say two?
Well, there were two corona cases in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, and if someone outside the city said, well, that's going to keep me out of town, I'm canceling my trip to Chicago, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Chicago is different maybe than Hawaii or
Italy,
though?
You know, it's all individual, but
I think that the reason, you know, to me, what I thought of was people that don't come to Chicago because of the crime. People who tour here gingerly or just won't come at all because of what they hear about what happened on the CTA or what they hear about a knifing or a stabbing or a shooting or violence in the city. And those of us that live here and work here and love it here know that that's a reality, but also without even thinking about it, do the math and say, okay, I know where it's safe. I know where it's not so safe. And I like my chances.
I mean, look, you know, I'm in the travel business, too, so I don't want to cloud my or make sure that that's clear to everybody. You know, but I was texting and emailing with my partner last night about the tens of thousands of people who die of the flu, you know, and the flu is not going to keep you off a plane every year.
Yeah, I know. And one of the scary components, though, is that the mortality rate with coronavirus is higher. It's 2.3% of the people that are known to have gotten coronavirus die. And that's a multiple of maybe five times higher than it is with the flu.
Regular influenza.
No.
Now, your expert had a good point on that yesterday, which I'd never considered, is that we don't know how many people have coronavirus now. And that may well be diluted once we get that final number.
If instead of 2,800 to 80,000, it's 2,800 to 180,000 or half a million people who have it and we just don't know, well, then suddenly we'll discover that it's not so deadly.
I mean,
we just don't know what that number is.
And in the end, it is everyone's decision. And like you said, if you're going to go and have a terrible time because you're worried the whole time, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. If the happiest moment of your vacation is getting on the plane to come back healthy, then that wasn't a good vacation.
But I think we're also confusing preparation with risk. You know, and we're talking a lot about now, and I'm waiting for the governor here to start. We're talking a lot about what governments and others are doing to prepare for potential problems, which doesn't necessarily mean that those things are going to happen or that there's a risk.
Yeah, I would say do that, Elif. It's 11:09. This is WGN. John Williams here talking to producer Elif Garris. I said, Elif, see what it costs to fly from here to Rome right now. I was making my list. We sort of asked you to help me come up with some positive things to report because the virus is not a pleasant story. It's the news. We will continue to report it and then topple that or couple that with the market falling. And you thought, well, could you say something good? And so I've been making a list, Steve. My goal is to come up with 50 by noon.
I think 15 is a good goal.
50, I said.
Yeah, well, I think, you know.
15 is a good goal. I'm at 17, so I don't think I'm going to get there. The last few have been pretty good, though. Sunday is the first day of spring. Shamrock Shakes. Daylight Savings Time is next Sunday. That's right around the corner.
That's not good news, though, because you lose an hour of sleep.
Mary?
Sorry.
On Netflix, season 2 of Drive to Survive has dropped, the Formula One racing show, which doesn't sound maybe like your cup of tea. It doesn't sound like mine. It's a really fascinating show. So I'll watch all of that. No Polar Vortex. Fish fries on Fridays are here for Lent. Gas is under $3 a gallon. The Democrats aren't debating tonight. The University of Illinois basketball team is really good this year.
Woohoo!
I have to say, the one about the polar vortex I completely resonate with because that just ruined my winter last year.
It was tough.
It was so cold yesterday, and it's just because we haven't gotten our winter blood this year.
I think it was like 19 or 17 yesterday. I think it's 19, right? What is the current temperature, Steve?
I think we're in the 20s now, but it was like 30 when I went home, and it's 30 used to be balmy.
Steve, why don't you give me a few?
It's 22 now.
Give me a few temperatures in the area. Let me just see if I can triangulate a little of that for you. So 22 at O'Hare.
22 at O'Hare, Midway 21.
Midway 21.
Lakefront 25.
Huh. Well, it's always a little warmer by the lake. Okay.
So what would it be at Key West?
Come on now.
Elgin.
What we have here is the classic triangulation of Chicago weather.
You just lost three positive mentions. We're down to 14.
Warmer by the lake. The airports are about the same. Midway's always just a skosh warmer. So it's everything you need to know. Elgin. Huh. Elgin.
It's on the Fox River.
Right, little steam coming up off of that bad boy. Not this morning, though. Steve, I'm going to go in Elgin. I don't remember what the elevation is. Gosh, I'm going to say 22.
18 degrees in Elgin.
I hate this game.
Not as much as me.
Wonder why we don't play it anymore. So I said to Elif, maybe another positive thing would be that the...
Yeah, it's not, though.
I thought maybe you could get a ticket to Italy right now for pretty cheap.
Nope.
Maybe it's because they've pulled some flights off the schedule as well.
Maybe, but like even the ones that have a layover, $5,710.
Okay,
wait a minute.
That's if you're flying today.
No, that's if you fly in 2 weeks.
Seriously, on what airline?
That's American, that's United.
Is that business class or coach? I can't believe it's that high.
No, I can't either, Elif. That can't be.
I don't know.
I mean, I shouldn't say that can't be, but that's... I do a little work with airline ticket prices and...
Well, because that's, to me, the only... I mean, haven't we been saying that if you're game, it's a really good time to go to Europe or other places?
Or Asia.
Yeah, well, if you can get somebody to take you there, that may be what Elif's running into. Limited flights.
The best one I saw is 974 basic economy. Okay. Actually, yeah, these are economy flights.
Okay, so 974.
That's different than 5,000.
I know, but that's also in there with one stop. This one stops at FRA. Is that that's not?
Well, that could be France.
That's CDG, isn't it?
Charles de Gaulle. That's Paris. Yeah.
But. That's 974 with a stop.
Oh, that's Frankfurt.
And then there's an American Airlines and departure and return is Brussels Airlines, and that's 5,571.
I just don't understand that. You may be doing this at home yourself or at work, or maybe you're doing it now. Can you just quote me some numbers? I mean, has the travel industry discounted to try to get us back in? Or my suspicion is that it might not be as cheap as you might think because some flights are just being pulled from the schedule. I know Peter Greenberg, who we seem to quote a lot these days, said some of the big jets that were doing international travel are now being brought over to the United States for domestic travel. So you can get on one of those really big jets that you would fly across the Atlantic when you're traveling domestically right now, which I guess is a nice thing, but it's just because there's fewer flights.
I found another one, and it says KLM midway to Atlanta. That's your first stop, and then Atlanta to Rome was $374.
Okay, now
Priceline.
Hey, Elif, now you're getting somewhere.
Now we're getting somewhere.
$374 to Rome.
And that's March 14th.
Okay, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, let's not go tomorrow because that just doesn't help. But if sitting here today, I said in 2 weeks I want to go to Italy, I could get to Rome for $374.
Yeah, but you got to stop in Atlanta.
Where the CDC is located and probably get sick
some
there.
Good testing areas.
Any place else we should try and go? Italy, I think, is kind of on our minds just because that's a popular spot for Americans who are traveling internationally. I think, you know,
well, it's also a spot that's been hit and more.
Right. So, but I'm also thinking we could do Hong Kong, for instance, or Yokohama, but I don't know that those are as frequently traveled to or as easily gotten to as Italy is. So that's why I'm thinking of Italy. I mean, shoot, we're going to Ephesus. We're going to Istanbul in October. And I don't know what I paid back then. Or if those tickets are less expensive now. It's 11:16. This is WGN. My number's 312-981-7200. Your texts or calls, please. Have you done this? And if you can just add to our list of positive things to report, I'll take whatever you got. I said on the bright side, you know, the spring is here in March. Some of you have pointed out to me that it's not technically spring, but a lot of people say December, January, February, that's winter. March, April, May is spring. May, June, July, August is summer. And then, you know, through October and November to fall. And if you're keeping score that way, daylight savings time starts next Sunday.
Isn't it? I hesitate to do this.
What?
Because, but isn't it saving time? Because that brings out people, and I'm just trying to help you avoid that.
So for those of you that want to get in that line, Steve's already cut in front.
No. I'm trying to head off the line for you because it's kind of annoying when people do it. But
wait, so it's daylight saving time?
I believe so, yeah. Just, it's one of those, it fuels people to respond.
Okay, so it's going to be warmer soon, so you won't have to go to Nordstrom's to buy a coat. Oh, wait, it's Nordstrom. Take the S off of that. Hold on. Just writing these down. Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate that.
On your side.
Mary, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Mary?
Hi, John. How are you? just excuse the accent and excuse the speech, but I was just listening to the announcement from our governor about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I happen to be flying to Dublin within 10 days, and I'm not cancelling. They have just had the first diagnosis of coronavirus confirmed today, and it happens to be in Belfast. But the person who has it came from Italy via Dublin and travelled down to Belfast, which means that both the UK health people and the Irish health people are involved. So I have been listening and watching there, as well as listening on BBC to the World Health Organization announcements. And all of them state that the first thing that anybody should do if they have any symptoms of the coronavirus is not to go to your doctor, as our governor has just stated. What one is supposed to do is to self-isolate in a very well-ventilated room and call your doctor. If you go to your doctor, you're not only putting your doctor and his staff in jeopardy, you're also putting the rest of the population that you traverse through in jeopardy. That's all I wanted to say.
Safe travels, and thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate your attention.
And Mary, bring us back some Tatoes.
Won't have enough room, Steve. I'll have so many for myself. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Seems to me that at the first press conference, when that man and woman came to Chicago, they said something like that, that the protocol that the individuals and that the doctors and hospitals followed was to the T what you are supposed to do. Remember, Elif, we were actually pulling the audio on that for the podcast yesterday. Maybe you've got some of that audio, but they mentioned at the first press conference, not the one today, that you should notify, I think that's what it was, you should call your healthcare professional and say that you think you, you know, the symptoms, here's the problem. The symptoms for coronavirus are not markedly different than they are for the flu. So I don't know that everybody is supposed to, that's a good question, you know. What are we all supposed to do if we think we've got the flu? You want to go to the doctor. Should you stay at home? Should you call first? And as I say these words, I don't know the exact answer to the question, but I imagine plenty of you go to the ER or go to the doctor rather than, as she said, self-isolate. And if the governor said that, that bears scrutiny, doesn't it? The city health officials were right there. They helped write his words, I'm sure. But that's an interesting question, and maybe we should look into that a little bit. John, spring starts March 21st, not Sunday. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Elif, what do you plan for us here?
It's Dr. Allison Arwadi, the health official.
She is dynamite. She is dynamite. I don't know if this is exactly what I was looking for, but play about what you got.
A few days after arriving home, the patient began to feel unwell. She called ahead to alert her doctor to her illness, rather than just presenting to a clinic or emergency department. This is exactly what any potentially ill returning traveler from Wuhan should do. Call ahead and seek medical care.
Nice job, Elif. That's exactly what I was looking for. And you notice she said, though, anybody returning from Wuhan, say anybody coming from China or one of the infected areas, I wonder if they would give the same advice if we are have not traveled, have not come into anybody who was traveling, but we're just domestic. Should you call your doctor before you come in? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, my guess is that you don't need to do that. You can just show up or do what you normally would.
Well, the governor talked about opening up some or doing some voluntary testing, too, so you could just present yourself for a test, which is an interesting...
You can't stay if you're staying at home.
Well, right. And I just wonder, I mean, that's going to bring out a lot of people who are always worried that they're sick, I'm thinking.
Yeah, right.
I'm going.
It's 11:25 now. Better Call Saul is up and running again. A couple of you have pointed that out on my list of positive things to report. John, the birds are twittering. John, it is sunny. It's going to be another great weekend. You could even grill out. John, Starbucks now offers oat milk. Okay, so there's three more things to add to my list. Some of them not as strong as others, but still, it's a positive thing that we can all revel in just a little bit. John, I'm happy that Better Call Saul is back on TV. Yeah, we are staying up on that. John, Portillo's has portobello mushroom sandwiches. And I think Mary, was it you, Mary, that was raving about the egg sandwiches over at Portillo's?
Yes, the pepper and egg sandwiches.
Brenda and I were there. There's not a Portillo's near us, so whenever we go by one, my car starts to get in the lane to go over to Portillo's. It's the craziest thing. So we went in there, and Brenda got the chopped salad, because that's what we do. And I got a burger, because I was feeling a little feisty, and that's the best burger joint in town. But as if to apologize to my arteries, I got the Greek salad. And I must say, I was thoroughly disappointed in the Greek salad. I love me some Greek salad, and I think I'm going to have to go back to the chicken chop. Just thought I'd pass that along to you. John, so thank you for all of your suggestions here on a little list. The Flower and Garden Show starts March 18th. Boy, if you want to touch, feel, and smell some humid soil and air, the Flower and Garden Show always does that starting March 18th. Thank you for your thoughts and notes on all of that. By the way, gas is under $3 a gallon. I'm just looking at my growing list of positive things we can report. Better Call Saul is back. Flower and Garden Show is here next weekend.
Do you watch Better Call Saul?
Yes. It's great.
I have a friend who wants me to watch it so badly.
Oh, my gosh, Steve. I'm so happy for you. You have a lot of happy television. You have a lot of great television viewing in your near future.
Really?
John, you can now get matching pajamas with your pets at Target. Again, I'm not making this list up. You are. So thank you for all of these contributions. John, we love it, says a couple of texters, or say a couple of texters when you guess the temperature. You should do that more often with Steve Bertrand.
That? Block that number. Block that number.
John, I think it's, sorry, John, it is saving time. You are saying daylight savings time, same as Happy New Year's. It's Happy New Year. However, I love the show.
And for the record, really, I was trying to help you out because that just brings out people, the corrections in people.
John, on your LifeLock commercial, you mention items for sale on the dark web. What is it, and do I take the blue or red line to get there? John, it's daylight saving time. Thank you. I think we heard that. John, all February 29th birthdays get to celebrate this year as we continue to report positive news. Ji Suki is in the studio and had one for us. What's the one that you've got?
Hi, John. I have McDonald's is giving away free breakfast sandwiches for National Egg McMuffin Day on Monday. So all you have to do is download the app, and between 6 and 10:30 a.m. on Monday, you can get a free Egg McMuffin. By the way, it debuted in 1971.
I haven't had an Egg McMuffin in forever. And I have very fond memories of Egg McMuffins. I think those are terrific little sandwiches. Have you eaten those? You like those?
Cool. Oh, yeah.
What's the matter, Elle?
I was going to say, can I do one that's spring-related, too?
If it's a positive thing, we can report that everybody can share, and that's what I'm looking for.
I get to wear pants that are not jeans now more often. Because you know how I like wearing, like, patterned things?
And that tends to be a lighter fabric? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
So is that good for all of us, Ella?
Steve, you know what? Steve just loves comparing my outfits, my fun, awesome outfits, to like different things. What was I? A go-go dancer one time because of my white shoes.
I think Elif walking down the street is actually a positive thing for the community because she's so fashionable. By the way,
denim jacket. Okay.
Back to the coronavirus for just a second. Kathy's been holding on line two, and I wanted to hear her voice. Kathy, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
You know, on this, first of all, I go with Ella. Man, I am like hip like you are.
Excellent news.
All right. For the coronavirus, I think the media is blowing it out of proportion. I understand how bad it is and that, but we are now, you know, it's like the quarantine, I understand that from coming from China and that. But here in the United States, it's like if anybody coughs or sneezes and has a cold, they're in ER.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Thank you for the call, Kathy. You know, somebody sent me from Johns Hopkins University. They have a real-time heat map, and you hit it, and then you see a map of the world, and you see it from the middle of January to today and tomorrow. They update it every day, and little red dots appear around the globe, and they get larger as those areas get more and more cases. And so you can kind of watch it, boom, spread across the world, and it makes it look like the world is on fire. They said you should share this with your listeners. I don't know that I will. You can look for it if you want. Just Google coronavirus tracker Johns Hopkins and you'll see it. It's kind of cool, but I don't think it reflects. And you see the virus, if you will, spread, but there's 8 billion people on the earth and it makes it look like we all have it. And I don't think it's helpful. I do think it does fan the flames. I do think the media is making this worse than it is. Do we need to tell you what the governor and the mayor said about the precautions the city is taking? Absolutely. And should we all be as cautious as we can? Absolutely. How do we communicate that without making it worse or without turning it into clickbait? Is the challenge that I don't think the media is meeting. Do you agree with me on that, G? I mean, you struggle with this stuff on your show.
I totally agree with you. We are trying to keep everything in perspective when it comes to the markets and also when it comes to this virus. And you have repeated the statistics of the flu in the United States and how many people that affects. And that's so much of a bigger threat right now than coronavirus.
Oh, yeah. It's like people are dying from the flu at the rate that people are contracting the coronavirus worldwide. I mean, it's just, it's not even close. And we all know that, but that doesn't seem to be changing our behavior. Somebody was complaining to me on the text line today, so many people at the hospital have those masks on. I guess that's because people are afraid or being super cautious. And then some of us are then like saying, well, then screw it. I'm not going to cancel my travel plans. I'm going to boldly go out there and not worry about it, not let it control my life. Somebody just texted in and said, John, I'm going to Panda Express for lunch tomorrow, and I don't care.
Can I just speak to the mask? I had a family member who was in the hospital for influenza this year, and when you were in the room, you needed to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So just because you're seeing masks there, we're having a very bad flu season anyway.
Worth remembering. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number to call or text. In a few minutes, we'll do our Bright Side of Life segment. By the way, she strolled into the studio because we asked her to, because you are involved in something called Operation North Pole, right?
Yes, it's a volunteer-based charity that helps terminally families dealing with a child with a terminal illness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have an event at Christmas time, right?
They do, yeah. They create Fantasyland.
So they turn what, this place in Rosemont,
mm-hmm.
into what?
The North Pole.
Oh, so they literally make it into mm-hmm. the North Pole. Candy
yes.
canes and trains and snow and all of that. And then the kids go to the North Pole. Is that the idea?
That's right.
Okay, so Tim Crossan is on a phone line. And this is Tim's baby. Are you telling me that's the correct
the case.
Way to describe it? Hey, Tim, you're on WGN with John and G. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning,
I'm doing
to you,
well,
sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so we just passed Christmas. So why are we talking about this today, Tim?
Well, it's a year-round effort to be able to provide one day of fun and fantasy for 75 families in the United States who may not see another holiday together as a complete family unit. So our volunteers get together and make a lifetime memory for these families. And as you might well know, it costs money. So we are very fortunate to have this year over, I think, close to 50 food and vendor individuals of great renown and magnitude in the city of Chicago who I think that they kind of look at it as their gift to the city of Chicago to utilize their talents and their time and their money to be able to come together and provide a gourmet tasting event, which we call Operation Taste. It's going to be this Monday night at the Donnelly Stevens Convention Center. We have everybody. We have Michelin-starred chefs, the 219 Jean Bonchet Award winner from Georges Trois. We have anything from mac and cheese to duck confit and everything in between.
So, got it. So then this would be like one of those taste events. You go there, you mill about, you eat all the food. What do you pay to get in, and then one price, and then you just eat like
yeah.
a king. Is that the idea?
It's $150 unless you purchase the table, and then it's down to $125 per person.
Got it.
It's all you can eat. All you can. There's alcohol, craft beer vendors, wine. So it's four hours of. If you don't come hungry,
you're kidding.
Gonna be hurt.
Sounds good. What do you do with this, G?
I'm going to be emceeing the events. I'm going to be helping the festivities and keeping the merriment up.
Yeah, no kidding. And this is at Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, and that's on Monday. So
correct.
Hearing this now, you've got time to go. That sounds like a good idea. You mentioned 75 families. I don't know if that's a lot or a little. So, and
well,
you said across the country.
we like to say that Santa doesn't come down a chimney and just ask which one of the children are the sick children in the family. So we provide a holiday event for an entire family.
The whole family, I see. So it's more.
So we have about 350 to 400 family members that participate. We charter a five-car Metra train. We actually wrap that train in a holiday theme. You might see that running on the Metra lines. It's actually still out there on the train tracks. That particular part of our event is the only one of its kind in the United States.
Wow. Okay. OperationNorthPole.org. visit operationnorthpole.org. I presume I can make a donation there or actually get some tickets there. And
yes, you can. You can go to operationnorthpole.org. It's on our website. It's on the front page. Or you can go to operationtaste.com. Either way, it'll get you to the tickets. And obviously, we can always accept donations if people can't make it through our website.
All right, Tim. Hey, I hadn't heard about this. She was all hot about it, though, and was telling me about it. Sounds like a great idea. So we'll connect again at maybe a Christmas time. But for now, let's help you guys get the money to make that happen Monday night in Rosemont. Good luck to you, Tim.
Thank you ever so much, Jen. And G, we'll see you on Monday.
Absolutely. And John, thank you so much. You're fantastic.
No, I haven't done anything. I just put that out there. But you're the one showing up Monday night. And everybody, get your checkbooks out. You can make a donation online or you can attend as well. It's 11:45 on WGN. Brightside comes your way in just a few seconds. So now's the time to call 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Call or text. Tell me some good news in your world. And just one last call here on the people that are thinking about traveling. Susan, you're on WGN. What can we do for you? Hey, Susan, are you there? Susan's car. That's the interior of it. Now, now she's turned the radio up. So let me give her one last shot here. Hey, Susan, this is John. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Wait, let me, yeah, I'm here.
So let me give her one last shot here.
Yeah, we'll talk to her another day. It's 11:46, and Lauren Lapka is in Traffic Central. Hey, Lauren, you going to help us out with the bright side? You'll read some of the texts that come in?
Sure am.
312-981-7200. This is WGN. Call me now.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
Call me, call me, call me.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing and get ready to whistle. Here we go.
Always look on the bright side of life.
We do this on Fridays, you know.
Always look.
312-981-7200 is the number. You call or text and we'll...
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten.
Share some good news in your world. Tell me something large. Tell me something small. It could be a big deal or it can just be, hey, Monday I'm going to get a free Egg McMuffin and I haven't had an Egg McMuffin in a while.
Always look on the bright side.
That's what we do on Fridays. Boy, we could use that today, huh? Here, but like, for instance, the market was off 1,000. Now it's only off about 600. That could be a bright side. All right, Vicki, you go first. Thanks for calling, Vicki. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Today is my last day of work. I'm retiring today.
Oh, wow. Are you happy? Are you sad?
I'm both, but more happy.
Yeah, no yes. Kidding. So, like, what are you going to do on Monday?
I'm going to go spend some time with my little grandson.
Have a great retirement. Congratulations, Vicki.
Thank you.
Always look on the right side of life.
I'm glad to see this, Lauren. My phone line is busy. How's the text line look?
Oh, you know, rolling very quickly as usual. I could give you two really quick ones.
Yeah, yeah.
630 says their bright side is that they booked a trip to Europe at the end of August. And another 630 says their bright side is they don't own any stocks.
Yeah, really. We're poor.
Feeling in the dumps.
George, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, George?
I'm smiling today because I got to talk to my daughter, Mo, who lives in France.
Oh, wow. Did you FaceTime or just pick up the phone and call?
FaceTime is the best.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to see them.
Congratulations. I'm glad you guys connected. Everybody's well over there, right?
Yes.
George, thanks for the call. From him to David. Hey, David, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Dave?
Because we're going to the British Isles 1st of September and then on to Switzerland. So we got 6 months to get everything straightened out on the health front.
On the right side of life. Have a great trip. We're going from you to, I think it's Aurelia on line 6. Aurelia, this is John. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very happy to inform you and to let you know my son is retiring today after 32 years of service with U.S. Steel.
Wow. 32 years U.S. Steel, and he's retiring today?
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
Thanks for the call. What are you reading, Lauren Lapka?
815 says that their bright side is that their first great-grandchild, they're having a gender reveal party on Sunday that they're going to. So that's very exciting.
This is Mark. You're on WGN. What's the good news in your world, Mark? You're on the air.
Hopefully playing to throw out the first pitch at Wilmington Wildcat Baseball opening game.
When is that?
Within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, throwing out the first pitch at the Wilmington Wildcats. Who are the Wildcats playing in that game?
I can't hear one more time.
Who are they playing? Do you know?
No, not yet, but I'm hearing good things.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for the call. We used to play Wilmington when I was a kid. I went to Manuka. We were in the Coal Valley Conference. And then the MVCC. I'm trying to remember what those stood for.
Wasn't it Gardner South Wilmington?
Gardner South Wilmington was there. Dwight. Seneca. Some of those schools. That was my old school. All of them enjoyed playing Manuka.
We used to beat the crap out of Dwight all the time. That's
the thing. Let's go to Therese. You're on WGN. What's the good news? Why are you smiling today, Therese?
Well, John, we closed on the house, and I'm on my way to pick up the check, which is awesome. And Monday, I leave for Washington, D.C. to lobby and to speak to senators and congressmen to get money for research for the MS Society.
All good news. Thanks for the call. Good luck to you on all of that. Let's take line one next. That's Elaine. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Elaine? You're on the air.
Hi. This is Elaine and Bob. We're on our way to Panama City, Florida.
Why would that make them happy? Have a good trip. Lauren Lapka, you got another one to read?
Definitely got a theme going. 620 says bright side. Sunday is first day of meteorological spring.
That's what I'm talking about.
815, spring is coming. You know, a lot of spring.
Yeah, I'm all for that. How about Bob? You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Bob?
Yeah, hello, John. It's Bob. I'm going to sign up for the Tribune to get delivered again, and hopefully for the next 10 years I'll get it here.
Good for you, Bob. Always look on
the bright side of life. I say frequently, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper or patronize the sponsors of your favorite news and talk radio station, because that's how it gets done. Life is quite absurd. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Bob? What's your good news?
Yes, my granddaughter's getting her doctorate degree in physical therapy, and they invited her down to the Joffrey Ballet to work on some of the people down there while she's only in school. So that was kind of, we're kind of proud of her, you know.
I get it, Bob. Congrats.
Can I add one?
Yeah.
Today is Steve Sanders' last day on WGN-TV, and he is just one of the all-time nice, great guys in broadcasting, and wish him just a great retirement.
Nice conversation with our Bob Surratt this morning, and props to him and them. Yeah, that's been a good run. Hey, Kay, this is John. Why are you smiling today, Kay? You're on WGN. Hey, Kay.
Oh, this is Kay. I'm smiling because I have my first great-granddaughter, and she is so beautiful, and I'm 95 years old, and that's my first, and I'm so lucky and happy, and they're all healthy. Always look on the
right side of life. Judy's on line one. Judy, why are you smiling? You're on the air.
Hello?
My whole show has been like this today. Go ahead, Judy. What's your bright side?
Okay, I'm from the Quad Cities, and the 1st of December, my sewer backed up and ruined my house. And this week, I got back in my house for the first time in 3 months.
Good to be back, huh?
Oh, wonderful. You can't imagine.
It doesn't smell funny, does it?
No, they came in there, cleaned that all up. That's what took so long. And there was an asbestos problem, too.
Oh, wow. So. You got it all fixed. Yeah. You're ready to move back in.
I'm in already.
Judy, I'm glad. Thanks for sharing that. Read another one or two there, Lauren Lapkus.
You'll enjoy this one. 847 says, they are thankful for you, John. They just can't get enough of you. Plus, they're signing up for the Chicago Tribune. And I like this one. 262 says, I just feel happy today.
That's all we're talking about. Hey, Jim, why are you smiling today? You're on the air.
On my way home for my colonoscopy and no issues.
Well, I hope you're driving.
No riding.
Yes, I was just going to say, he can't be. You're not supposed to be driving. I don't think so.
No.
Hey, Jim, that's great news, Jim. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners.
Thanks.
I've been doing this segment for a long time, and that may be the first time we got that call. Let's go to, I don't know, we got a bunch of them here.
Beg to differ, though.
What's that?
We've had someone call in, or text in, or it was on Facebook, someone said they had a colonoscopy.
I suppose if it comes, A, you're glad it's over with, and yeah. B, if it's all good news, that's a bright side. You know, there's only one rule about the bright side. We don't judge your bright side. If it makes you happy, we're happy. Lauren Lapka, any colonoscopy texts coming in?
No, but do you have a marriage one? They're getting married tomorrow for Leap Day. Fiance came up with the idea, but the joke will be they don't have to celebrate anniversaries except for every 4 years, so they'll save a fortune.
That's brilliant.
Always look on the bright side. Hey, Marv, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Marv?
Good morning, John. Driving in the sunshine from the suburbs back to Chicago to see my wife. She got a stem cell transplant Tuesday night. Stem cells came in from Korea before they shut the world down.
Are you kidding? Wow, I didn't know it was that complicated. And so things are looking good? You're optimistic, are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had to shock her heart twice with paddles because she went into arrhythmia. But kudos to the nurses and the doctors that keep us healthy.
Amen to that. And they got the stem cells out of Korea just in time, huh?
Just in time.
How about that? If life seems jolly rotten. Maybe time for one more, Lauren Lapka, one you want to read?
I got a perfect one for you. It's the perfect transition text. 630 says they're thankful because they listen to Terry Savage on WGN and they have lots of chicken money.
That's what they call it. Okay, thanks for that. We do it on Fridays. We ask you to share some good news with us. We call it the bright side. And Ji Suki is getting ready for her show. Now Ji is getting ready to do her thing. What's going on, Ji?
Today we're going to be talking with a CEO of a company that focuses on workforce safety, something important to think about, especially if you're managing people in light of what happened in Milwaukee recently.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I guess another way to contemplate workplace safety. Plus, the markets are something I know you guys will be looking at. Steve will be, too.